morning, everybody. Testing, testing. Can you hear me? Good. Sounds all right? Sound coming, Alexa? Sound coming? Good. That's working beautifully. Thank you. Welcome, everybody, as we gather together, all this many of us, which is as some of God's people who live in this part of the world. Welcome to Ruth and Jono. Welcome to everybody. Excuse me. We're talking about prayer today, and at the moment when I start to talk about prayer, this is prayer, I think. So, when I often start to talk about the things that matter, particularly in the context of this space, emotion wells up, and I think that's the truth about life. So I'll continue on, and if you'll just excuse the packaging, we all understand the context. The thought about prayer, I often think that words don't cut it, and I think that when we try to put words around what prayer is, we can't fully express it because this is the expression of it. And at the moment, I've been really moved and impacted by our daughter who's living in Europe at the moment, who's actually staying with a friend in Armenia. And if we think about what's happening in Armenia at the moment, and this is Brigitte. So Brigitte has, in that context of being there, has been suddenly overwhelmed by what's happening in Gaza and has been confronted by the reality of life unfolding rapidly in terrible ways, causing terrible things to people, and it has completely shaken her sense of what she understands of the world and how the world unfolds. And she's been her posts on Instagram, which have gone from being photographs of all the wonderful places in Europe that she's been travelling in and walking in, all the wonderful things, are now back-to-back writing, exhorting people, to her friends, her contacts, to look and think and saying, why is nobody talking about this? Why is there sort of silence? And is there something wrong with me that I'm responding in this way and look what's happening in the world? And she's been really, really shaken, I would say shaken to her core. And I listen to that, and I am so proud of our daughter as an adult woman who is acting with integrity with what she believes, the moral compass that she has, whatever that is, that she is so shaken by this. And she's looked to what she... And she set up, as a response to this, what can she do? She set up a petition on change.org, because she looked for something to sign, there's nothing there, and she put it out there. And I just look at the boldness of her, and I'm thinking, what is prayer about? And I look at where she is. And then there's the referendum yesterday, and then there's the response of Indigenous people today and last night. Read a couple of things this morning. Rachel Perkins has posted something about a week of silence to reflect, and Common Grace has put out some things around we need to reflect about what this means, and we need to sit and think and pray and reflect. And I look at all this in the world and I think, and I haven't been in Plahia and Ida's shoes. The world is around us and we are in the world, and at some point in here we're really protected in our little space by distance. And those of us who've been alive for longer than our children have also become, we've worked out how we manage this stuff. We kind of, it's over there and we can get on with here, and we've worked out to an extent what we can, what we can't do. We have a philosophical framework. We, you know, say human beings have been like this since time immemorial. It happened all the way through history. This is humans behaving as humans do. But anyway, so that's, we come to this service today and we're all in different places. And I think the other thing is prayer can be a deep gratefulness for life. And I know when we were in Europe and we had the privilege of getting up every morning and just walking and just being in the places we were in. So we can be deeply grateful and we can be deeply disturbed. And I think it's trying to be in touch with the heart of God at some point. What does that mean in our world? So that's the theme of our service this morning, and we're going to, and the songs are at some point echo that stuff. So, and thank you, and it's great today we've got Josh and Josie and Charlotte helping us with singing. So thank you. We're going to sing together A Voice Is Heard. Let's stand and sing together.
Let us praise our God, come let us sing for joy, with a heart of thanks we give honor. You are a mighty God, you are the source of life, Creator God, we give praise. From the deepest seas, a voice is heard, from the highest hills, a voice is heard, from the dark earth, a voice is heard. Sing, God is heard. To you is our God. Come, let us sing for joy. With a heart of thanks, we give honor. You are a mighty God. You are the source of life. Creator God, we give praise. Through the darkest night, a voice is heard. Through a breaking dawn, a voice is heard. Through a heart of life, a voice is heard. All creation sings, God is heard. Come, let us praise our God. Come, let us sing for joy. With a heart of thanks, we give honor. You are a mighty God. You are the source of life. Creator God, we give praise. Creator God, we give praise.
I'm just going to light our candles so we don't forget as a reflection. I'll grab the matches. I always think that a candle and a flame is a good reminder of God with us. Joseph's going to bring us a reading.
We have two readings today. First one comes from Exodus 21 to 4, 7 to 9, and 12 to 20. God said to the people of Israel, I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt where you were slaves. Do not worship any god except me. Do not make idols that look like anything in the sky or on earth or in the ocean under the sea. Do not misuse my name. I am the Lord your God, and I will punish anyone who misuses my name. Remember the Sabbath day belongs to me. You have 6 days when you can do your work. Respect your father and your mother, and you will live a long time in the land I am giving you. Do not murder. Be faithful in marriage. Do not steal. Do not tell lies about others. Do not desire to possess anything that belongs to another person, not a house, a wife, a husband, a slave, an ox, a donkey, or anything else. The people trembled with fear when they heard the thunder and the trumpet and saw the lightning and the smoke coming from the mountain. They stood a long way off and said to Moses, "If you speak to us, we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, or we will die." "Do not be afraid," Moses replied. "God has come only to test you, so that by obeying him you won't sin." Second reading comes from Matthew 22:34-40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments."
Thanks, Joseph. Time for community news. Anyone got some news of what's been happening that they would like all of us to know about?
A little bit later there'll be more about mainly music, but I've got some flyers here that, if you've got people in your local neighbourhood that might be interested, I'll leave them here.
I just moved house.
With those fun things like revenue and expense items and all that kind of stuff. It's potentially boring, but it's important and kind of important for the structure of the kind of stuff we do. So yeah, if you can, like I said, just hold some prayer, that'd be most appreciated. Thank you.
Just want to thank those that have been praying for John. He's doing really well. He's had his third bout of chemotherapy and the cancer is quite in remission for the moment, but he's got three more bouts to go before Christmas, so do keep praying and praising God. Thanks.
Just a reminder of our community meal tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Great occasion. I'm sure we all eat an evening meal, so why not come? Save yourself the hassle of having to prepare it and come and get a great, well-cooked meal put together from the bounty that we collect from Woolworths and Coles and Plump, our organic grocer, and put together with the ingenuity of whichever chef is in charge, and it's Belinda tomorrow, so it'd be great to show her great support and all rock up and enjoy whatever she comes up with.
The other thing I'll do, following on what I told you about Brigitte, I asked her if I can share things about what she's doing today, and she asked me whether I could send the link to her petition to stay in touch. So when you see one come in, change.org, it's what she has written out of her heart about challenging our government in their sort of unilateral support, all of those things. And we all know there's complex stuff, but I think it's wonderful and bold for her to do those things, and it's great. Anyway, so if you see that come in, stay in touch, you'll know the context. If that's about our news for now, we're going to do another song, which I always like as a song of prayer, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace," which is a very which is a very profound thing to be saying in the context of our world here in Australia this week and the world in its chaos. We can stand again.
This morning we really are delighted to be able to welcome you, Ruth and Jono, just to our gathering of worship this morning. And we're really privileged as a community to have had some resources made available so that we are really able to strengthen and engage our community through the work of Mainly Music. And this is something that is very passionate in Ruth's heart. So Ruth, it'd be lovely if you could come out for just a moment. And we'd love to hear just a snippet of your story and to be able to pray for you as you start this work with Jenny and with the team of Mainly Music and also with the worship leaders, as particularly we're thoughtful on the third Sunday of the month when we try to do some things that will really be appropriate and engaging across the age group. So we're really delighted that you're here. So you've just had a couple of a long day of flights coming back from Japan with the whole family. So not surprisingly, probably a little bit blurry-eyed. But it would be lovely just to hear a little bit about the family, just to sort of put in context. So there's Charlotte and Noah and Arthur as well, yeah, who are all sleeping, you hope?
Well, Charlotte was still asleep. The 14-year-old, Charlotte's the oldest, she was still asleep when we left. But the two boys were sort of up and they're not really quite with it this morning. So I was like, no, that's definitely, you guys can stay behind. I'm not taking you when you're sort of tired and cranky and going to meet new people. I'd rather do it on my own. But yeah, Mainly Music. I started Mainly Music when Charlotte was a little baby. If she's 14, that means in February it'll be 14 years since I started at Mainly Music. I first started attending as an attendee with my kid in tow, and then when Arthur got too big. By that stage, I'd been there for, I think it was 7 years or 8 years, and I was like, I had all these amazing friendships built with these families, and I turned around to the leader and said, would you mind awfully if I kind of came back every few weeks, and I'm happy to do morning tea and help out, but I really don't want to miss my friends. There's two parts to Mainly Music. One is the early childhood development, and the other is the connection with the parents. And I'm very passionate about early childhood, but at that stage I was very also passionate about these families and these connections and friendships that I'd built. And the lady who ran it turned around and said, actually, we're really short on volunteers. Would you mind coming every week? She goes, we know you. And it was at Eston Baptist, and that was our previous church, so it wasn't that I didn't have a connection with that church. And she said, the elders all know you. They're all happy for you to please come along. So I went, okay, of course, I'll come every week. I'm like, yay, I don't get to leave. And then I stuck around volunteering with them for a few years, and then I rocked up, gosh, I think it's 5 years ago now. Doesn't seem like it was that long, but it is. I rocked up at the very first one for the year, and a different leader who was running it at that stage, Sally, came running up to me and she goes, Ruth, a position's opened at Brimbank and they need a music facilitator and you would be perfect. It's on a Monday. Here's the number. Give them a call. And I went, okay. So I finished off the Friday and then called them straight away, and they went, we'd love to meet you immediately. And I went, well, I've got to grab some lunch. But where are you? And they went, oh, we're just at Glenburvie. So I literally went and grabbed some lunch, jumped on the train to Glenburvie. Oh, that's one thing. I don't have a license, by the way. So I do public transport everywhere, unless I've got my personal chauffeur taking me somewhere. So jumped on the train to Glenburvie and met Doug and Liz and discovered that I actually know their daughter. And I'd been attending Youth Vision camps with their daughter since I was about 14. And she had also been at Eston Baptist Church. And I was like, oh, I know who you are. You're Emily's parents. And so I was like, I've actually given some of my leftover clothes for their daughter, and they'd given me their son's ones for my boys. So turns out I actually knew their daughter quite well. And I met the team and fell in love with Brimbank. So that's Brimbank Church of Christ. And then we have been attending the City on a Hill. We were originally at High Point, and then when they moved, we started going to the city. One of the main reasons is they don't have their service until 11 a.m, which means we can sleep in. There's nothing wrong with 10 a.m, but we do lack a good sleep in on a Sunday morning. But what happened was we visited the Eston Baptist Church because my daughter's been going to youth group there. So we still have connections with the Eston Baptist. And we went for a service after the service was a State Youth Games information session. And we went, yep, we'll go. We went along, and our youngest one went into the kids' church at that point. And he came out and he goes, Mum, kids' church is awesome, because the 11 a.m. City on a Hill doesn't have a kids' service. And we like sleeping in, and he came out and he goes, oh, we've got to go again. And I was like, it's okay, we'll come again. It's all right, we can come here. My brother-in-law goes there, so Jono's brother attends. His cousins are there. He absolutely loved it. And so we've been going every probably 3 or 4 weeks, we've been popping into Eston Baptist. And this just happened to be this one week we went along, and one of the other mums who used to be at Mainly Music with me, Melissa, goes, oh, my gosh, I just ran into Peter, and he just asked me, did I know anyone who was a facilitator for Mainly Music, because there's a spot going in Yarraville. And I went, oh, that's really interesting. It just happened to be the one week that I was there. Literally, that was when all the sort of messages went down the line. And I went, oh, I'll give them a buzz. And I was like, I'll go home, have lunch. I'll wait until about 2 o'clock, because by then normally church is done on a Sunday. And I called Jenny and went, hi, I'm Ruth. And that's how I came to you guys. So that's sort of a long... I do like to chat. I'm really sorry. I'm sure it never works when you've got me around. I always chat a little bit too much.
So a question without notice.
Yes.
What's one of the things that gets you excited about Mainly Music?
Oh, that's interesting. I think in the different stages there's been different things. So when I had the two boys and they were 3 and 2... they would come into music and they would literally run in circles, and I would go, why am I coming? Oh my gosh. But then I would have coffee with the mums and I'd be like, oh, that's right, I come because of me, not because my kids, I come for me. But then moving on to a volunteer, it became more about ministering to the families and seeing the other families that were like mine that had multiple kids, and then going, turning to them and going, do you want me to take one of the kids for you so you can actually enjoy the service? Like, you'll enjoy the music time. Now that I started delving into music, the Mainly Music programs with Brimbank, and actually learning the science behind the music programs, it's so fascinating to hear them go, oh, so we've developed this new song and it's about the science of quadrilateral movements, or it's about the science of mathematics and music. And what you don't know is that music is the basis for mathematics, beat, rhythm, pattern. It's all about building mathematics, getting the kids to cross over their arms, which sounds like the easiest thing for us to do. We don't even think about it. They've actually got to get their brains to learn all of that, getting the kids to learn about jumping or playing with scarves. It actually gives them spatial awareness. So it starts teaching them about where everyone else is around them, and discovering that this program has got all this science behind it to actually help the children grow and learn. Also, I long time ago also ran the playgroup, the Flemington Canberra Street Stables playgroup. When I was doing that, I actually got an opportunity to go to the Playgroup Victoria seminar that they run every year, and it was an amazing experience. But they were actually talking about the benefits of music to early childhood, and they found that kids' brains grow an excessively large amount when they are exposed to music at a young age. And it's just a wonderful program. The songs are amazing. They're so much fun. And then watching the kids' faces, they just think it's a great time. They're like, oh, we get to dance and sing. And that's all I thought my kids were doing when I was attending. But now, as someone who's been in the program and discovering about the program, the more I learn about why they've set these structures up and why they've put these songs there, learning how that has an impact on their growth and their understanding and their experience of the world, it's so amazing to watch these little kids grow and to see the quiet ones become more bold, or watch the bold ones go, right, I can do this and get fully into the music. And they're so cute too. It's so adorable. I love little kids. I think they're so cute. But, yeah, it's just amazing to watch them grow and learn and to see all of that. So different stages of learning different things.
Well, that's fabulous. So I suspect you all want to sign up now and come along on Thursday, which would be wonderful. And we want to pray for you, Ruth, as you sort of join this journey with us, and particularly with Mainly Music during the week. So this is obviously it's the beginning. So we'd sort of built up a core group before under Jenny's leadership, and which was absolutely fantastic. But we're really having to relaunch again. So it's starting from the beginning. And so we're really needing your engagement. If you know families, particularly obviously families with preschoolers, to have the courage just to say something, put one of these pamphlets in their hands. Jenny, I'd love you to come out and lay a very heavy hand on Ruth.
Well, I can support you, Jenny.
And Kay, I wonder if you'd be comfortable coming out too. And we just want to pray for you, for Jono, for the family, and for the commencement of Mainly Music. So let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for the joy and the energy and the delight that is a part of this experience with children, of being able to engage with them, of particularly the program with Mainly Music. And we say thank you for Ruth. Thank you for the passion that you have instilled with her, a passion for children, a passion for this program, and opportunities of lovingly supporting the parents and the families who come along. So we are asking your blessing upon her and Jono and the children, and upon these opportunities that are opening up for us as a community together. We pray indeed that you will bless, that you will create the opportunities, that there will be the conversations that will lead to people coming to a place of
both coming along on Thursday and being open and exposed to something of the love and the joy of you in life. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
It's time for us to think about what it's kind of like KidSpot, which is kind of like you and me, Josie. do you want to come out here? Is that all right? Just you? Good on you, Charlotte. We do need. And this is intergenerational. So we're just... the readings that Joseph gave us today were readings that we've got from the Bible about times when people have wanted something structured about, well, what does God think? So the Old Testament story is when the people, God had taken the people out of, the Jewish people, out of Israel, out of Egypt at least, and they'd actually been wandering around the desert for 2 months, having gone out and escaped from the armies of, and all sorts of things had happened. They'd somehow gone through the Red Sea when that had all opened up, and then the armies behind them had been, and but then 2 months, they're just wandering around in desert. And so I don't know whether they thought they were going anywhere or what was going on. And in the middle of all that, God has a way of communicating to us at different points in history. And at that point in history, Moses was the way that lots of that God's people got some of what they know about God. And God called Moses up to a mountain in the middle of the desert called Mount Sinai. And he went up, and it was a very mysterious time. There were clouds blocking off the mountain. There was sound and all sorts. And I think if you were a person standing at the bottom of the mountain and Moses disappeared up the mountain and didn't come back for a month or so, and you might wonder what was going on. But at the top of the mountain, Moses had an experience of God that led to him understanding from God, these are the rules that we can live by. And they were about understanding that God was the person who'd taken them out of Egypt, that God was a God who loved them and looked after them, and that they needed to respect God, and that they needed to take time to sit and reflect about God in their every week. And also lots of rules about how they looked after each other and what you could and couldn't do, just so there were a bit of rules about how we should live. And so the Jewish people lived with that. And when Jesus came along, quite a number of years after Moses, a long time later, the experts of all the laws that had been written down said, tried to trick Jesus and say, well, what's the most important one? You know, like there could be one important. So they would just say, what's he going to say? And so Jesus distilled it quite into a couple of really simple things, which I think we are ones that we hang on to. So it's just kind of love God with all that we are. With all that we are, love God. Whatever that means, love God. And love the people around us just like they're us. So put ourselves in their place and do to other people what we'd want other people to do to us. And so when we're thinking today about prayer and about communicating with God, it's about how do we understand what the heart of God is? How do we understand what God thinks in the world? So I've got some stuff we can do. I've got a whole lot of river pebbles. And if any adults want to be slightly more childlike, you can sit up the back and do it while Nev's talking, because you can do two things at once. And I've got some markers, some kind of like paint marker things that you can use. They're like pens that you can get a rock that you like, because I often think sometimes you can just find one that's your kind of rock, your kind of space, and just thinking. And you can do something on that rock. You can use pens, markers, pastels, whatever you like, to just create something on that that somehow reminds you about God, whatever it is, and about the fact that God is there like a rock that doesn't shift, but also we can take with us, whether it's to our new house, whether it's just in our pocket or somewhere, something that reminds us of how we think about God. There's some other stuff there, but I don't know if there's enough people to bother that we could make a rainbow as well, but we might even do that another week. Okay, so up the back, and you'll see the pens. They're just like, they just look like ink pens, but you can create something on it. You can do all sorts of stuff. You could use your imagination, let it fly. Okay, all right? So, good. And I think what the other thing that we might do now is just take a time to pray as a community, and we can all pray the prayers of our own hearts, and we can come up and light a candle, a taper to put in there as a symbol of that, and we can use whatever. We can talk. If someone wants to say something into the microphone about something that's on their heart, fine. Otherwise, we open our hearts to God together. I'm just going to read something that came from Common Grace this morning. The Common Grace team sent out an email. And I'm going to read. It's part of that that I'll read together, and then we'll keep praying, because this is part of the prayer. We yearn for God's kingdom to come. We have been incredibly blessed by the Common Grace, by Common Grace's movement's passion to pray for voice and justice. And we humbly ask for continued prayers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community who are in dismay. Our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander leaders who have been so faithful and strong. Our elders and old people. Our children, the seeds that have been sown to continue to grow and take root. Continued momentum to build from the movement, the conversations, and the exposure of the reality of racism. Love and hope. Let's keep praying together. We're going to pass around the offering plate for those of you who aren't online giving. And we're going to sing together the song, O Lord, Hear My Prayer. And that's, I see, as part of our prayer time. So let's sing it together about three times through and just bring our prayers to God in this way. Neville's going to lead us in a reflection.
Let's share together in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, that is the cry of our heart, even sometimes when words fail us, and yet our hearts cry out to you. Would you hear us, we pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, Lord, be acceptable in your sight, because you are our rock and you are our Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, there's all sorts of things now on Netflix, on Stan, and all sorts of a variety of entertainment. But one of the things I've certainly got hooked on is Escape to the Chateau. It's a bit of an addictive program that chronicles the rebuilding of a dilapidated old French chateau. And a delightful couple, Angela and Dick Strawbridge and their kids, who are actively sort of and under sometimes quite difficult circumstances, pulling off both artistic and engineering feats to get this place up and running again. Well, in one of the latter programs, they finally got their sort of commercial kitchen established for their wedding business, and they decide to do something on the side. So they go out to their beautiful little car. It's just idyllic, this sort of beautiful French sort of walled garden. And inside there, they're growing these little saplings, eucalyptus saplings, and Angela would often use them for the wedding bouquets, etc. Anyway, they cut down a lot of these saplings. They take them into the kitchen and they're going to distill it all to make the essential eucalyptus oil. But what staggered me was they had it in a wheelbarrow, this massive amount of eucalyptus that they'd cut down. And then they sort of forced it into these sort of distilling pots, whatever, and did it for hours and hours. And at the end of it, they had this tiny little bottle with a couple of millimetres of this eucalyptus essence and this sort of amazing transformation, but just the volume of what was needed for these few millimetres. In our reading from Matthew's Gospel this week, the Pharisees asked Jesus yet another test question. Which commandment in the law is the greatest? In other words, how do we take this massive volume of all that had been a part of the Jewish history, how do we distill it down to its very essence? How do we somehow pick it out? Now, long before Star Wars, I used to watch Lost in Space. And there was Will Robinson going along this strange planet, and he would have his faithful little robot behind his side. And then all of a sudden there would be danger. And the robot is famous now for saying, "Danger, Will Robinson, danger." And yeah, Jesus needs one of these robots next to him. Danger. This is one of those questions that can land you into a lot of trouble. All of this scholarly, intellectual, theological work, all of the things that Kay was talking about, these ways of understanding life and the laws about how to live it. Now, we've got a lot of that preserved in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. So this test question needs, as it were, some thoughtfulness in order to be able to distill it down. The question itself, though, is essentially designed to offend. It was designed to get somebody, if not everybody, offside. A question that was both political and theologically, and for many of the audience, deeply personal. And any wrong answer would get the massive no if a referendum of onlookers was taken. More importantly, the incorrect answer would in fact get you killed. Now, I think it's sometimes difficult for us to really appreciate what the Torah means in the Jewish tradition. Yes, these are rules, these are laws, these are the practice of everyday life that are to be followed. But if we were to talk to a Jewish leader, they would talk about the Torah as if it were life itself. It is life itself. So you stand on very dangerous ground when you start to try and interpret the essence of this life in a few short words. So Jesus answers with without a moment's hesitation, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind." As Kay said, with everything that you've got. This is the greatest and the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. Love God, love your neighbour. On these two commandments hang everything else that matters in the world. And that's it. All of this distilled down into this couple of sentences. Jesus says love. That's it. All of the teaching, all of the robust academic and theological and the belief systems that have been formed, all of the practices within Judaism, and there are a number of different types of practices all adamantly followed, could be distilled down to its essence. So this morning we need to pause long enough to hear it, to hear this word love, a love that is so greatly misunderstood and used in lots of ways, love of God, love of neighbour. The challenge for us all, being shaped now by Netflix and Stan and Hollywood and novels and magazines, is to tend to think of love essentially as a feeling, a spontaneous, free-flowing feeling that arises out of our own enjoyment, our own sense of what it means to be related, of kinship with and our affinity with others. We don't think of this love as a discipline, as a practice, as an exercise, as an effort. We understand, we fall in love, we insist that love is blind, that it happens at first sight, that it breaks our hearts. We talk and we think about love as if we have little power or agency in its presence. Jesus doesn't say, "Well, I sure hope love happens for you." He says love is the greatest and the first what? Commandment. Meaning it's not a matter of personal affinity, it's or a feeling or a preference. It's not a matter of somehow a lucky accident bumping into the right person. It's a matter of obedience to the one we call Lord. And it's a compelling question. What would it really cost us to take this version of love that Jesus gives us seriously? And the truth is, most of the time I know I want to play it safe. I want to keep the small and manageable circle of friends that I have. I want to choose the people I love based on my affinities and preferences, whether sometimes I'm prepared to admit it or not. I'm not always as open to this Jesus all-inclusive commandment. Now, being charitable and benevolent, I can do that. But cultivate my heart, preparing it, pruning it to love, really being prepared to be authentic or vulnerable to this world's pain. These things are hard, they're hard and they're costly, and we have a God who wants every one of God's children to feel loved, by us. Not to be ashamed, not to be punished, not to be chastised, not to be judged, but to be loved by us. We cannot love God in a disinfected, disembodied way that doesn't touch the dirt and the depth of this world. Our love is meant to be robust and muscular, to be hands-on, to be intimate, reaching into skin and bone and blood and tears. In the final moments before his death, there's a very intimate moment that's described between Jesus and his disciples. And it's a moment where Jesus chooses to pray. And our theme, remember, as we've been talking about in October, is prayer. And Jesus looks towards heaven and he prays. His tone has an urgency and a passion to it that is achingly private. Knowing full well the trials and the terrors that lie ahead for himself and for the disciple, he prays into the uncertainty of it all. He hopes into doubt. He trusts into danger. And the prayer is a vehicle that really embodies this. In an outpouring of love, he prays with words and emotions. Jesus asks God to do for his friends what he himself will no longer be able to do for them. To be for them in spirit what he can no longer be for them in body. Protect them, Jesus prays. Protect them by your name. Protect them from the evil one. Protect them. I wonder if you know this Jesus. This Jesus who pleads so earnestly. Most of us are more familiar with the Jesus who teaches and who heals and resurrects and feeds. But do we know this Jesus, the vulnerable, tender-hearted lover who knows that his cherished ones are being sent into the trenches of the world on nothing but a hope and a prayer? And he entrusts these treasures of his heart to the vast mystery that is intercession. I'm asking, says Jesus, as if to say, I don't know what you will do with my asking. I don't know how or when or in what way you'll answer this prayer. I can't force your hand, but I'm staking my life and the lives of my loved ones on your goodness, because there's literally nothing I can do on my own. I've come to the end of what is love of mine that can hold and guard and save, and I'm asking. And I'm asking you this morning, what role does this type of prayer play in your life and in the world? What sort of role does this type of prayer have to play in a world with so many no's? With tragedy, with illness, with injustice and oppression? To wonder what role prayer plays is to raise, I think, one of the hardest questions when we think about God and when we think about our own connection to God. I think prayer, along with many other areas of my life and faith, my understanding of prayer has shifted a lot over the years. Most of us live on those borders of a very complicated world. I've got a few friends who still like to pray for parking spots and lost house keys and football teams. Goodness, some of ours need them. They pray for exam results, but quite frankly, I simply can't muster the words for that sort of thing. One BBC commentator said, in Gaza at the moment, it's like taking half of the size of Canberra and dropping 2.5 million people into that space and then dropping 6,000 bombs on them and then giving them 6 hours to find a new home. Or if you can imagine a public holiday for Israelites, Israelis who were in the kibbutz and suddenly they're running for their lives and women and children and 1,000 killed within a couple of hours. Or we hear of another refugee camp being bombed in Myanmar by the military. Or we try to we've almost forgotten now, but we try to comprehend the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are dying right now in like World War I trenches under cluster bombs in the fields of Ukraine. I also know a number of people who have almost given up on intercessory prayer, almost on principle. They think that somehow asking God for stuff is like treating God like a Santa Claus. I think the challenge for me, and I hope it is a challenge for all of us in this month of October as we focus on prayer, is to ask the question, so why do we pray? For me, one answer is that I pray because it is an expression of my love for God and my love for neighbour. I am compelled to do something. Something in me cries out for engagement, for relationship, for attentiveness and worship. I pray because my soul yearns for connection with the another who is God. And that connection is best forged in prayer, with words, without words, with laughter, through tears, in hope and in a broken world where we know that we aren't alone. As C.S. Lewis writes, because I can't help myself, because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. I also pray because Jesus did. We pray because we love, and prayer is what lovers do. We ask, we stretch out our requests and intercessions. We yearn with our prayers towards communion with the source of all love, so that somehow we might be secured or strengthened or sustained or sanctified. I ask because Jesus asked. One of the last tender memories Jesus gave his friends, he didn't awe them with a grand final of miracles. He looked up to heaven with a trembling heart. He surrendered his cherished ones to God. Jesus asked and he prayed because he loved. And may we do likewise. In today's passage, Jesus distilled the essence of life and declared love the be-all and end-all. And if we are to love, then this is a call for us to weep with those who weep, to laugh with those who laugh, to touch the untouchable, to feed the hungry, to welcome the children. I want to conclude this morning with this prayer from the Black Rock Prayer Book. It's a blessing. The world now is too dangerous and too beautiful for anything but love. May your eyes be so blessed you see God in everyone. Your ears so you hear the cry of the poor. May your hands be so blessed that everything you touch is a sacrament. Your lips so you speak nothing but the truth with love. May your feet be so blessed you run with those who need you. May your heart be so open, so set on fire that your love changes everything. And may the blessing of God, who created you, loves you, and sustains you, be with you now and always. And may it be so. Amen.
Thanks, Nev. We have another song, The Gravity of Love. So we can stand and sing this together and be reflective of all that we've heard and thought. Let's stand together. Can't say more than that song. So that's our benediction and the things that we take with us. And we can keep joining together in morning too together.